This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly. On the show today, we're going to have violinist Robert McDuffie, who is appearing tonight with the Venice Baroque Orchestra in what is called the Seasons Project. It refers both to Vivaldi's Four Seasons, those four violin concertos named after each of the four seasons, and a new concerto, the Violin Concerto No. 2 by American composer Philip Glass, which is nicknamed the American Four Seasons, and the one did inspire the other. In other words, Vivaldi inspiring Philip Glass, and we'll talk to Robert McDuffie about that in the later portion of the show. On the first half, we're going to be having a young singer-songwriter whose name is Darren Hackey. He's playing at the Canopy Club in Urbana tonight, and we'll get to hear him live in our studio. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9, and here is Robert McDuffie in music by Franz Lehár. That was music by Franz Lehár, a concert polka called Vergiss mein Nicht, Don't Forget Me, I think, or something close to that. Robert McDuffie, the violinist, with Eric Kunzel leading the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Robert McDuffie is going to be playing tonight with the Venice Baroque Orchestra at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, a program that includes music by Vivaldi and Philip Glass, and we'll be talking to him later on today's show. But first, a young man who I was introduced to only like 2 days ago, and that was courtesy of the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, an article that actually featured him. The headline here is, Debut Album Brings CU Artist One Step Closer to His Dream, and his name is Darren Hackey, and he's having his first CD release party tonight at the Canopy Club in Urbana, and that's at 9 o'clock, doors opening at 8 o'clock, and he's with us in the studio here, and he's going to do some of his songs for us with his guitar, of course, and appreciate your being available on short notice.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
So how did the News Gazette find you?
You know, the person who wrote the article literally just searched the Canopy Club website and saw that I had a CD release show, contacted me via Facebook, and voila, you know, we met up for an interview, and that's kind of how it happened.
And now you're here.
Now I'm here.
Through essentially the same path. And what's your path to deciding to do a CD and deciding to pursue music? You were going to do something in the sciences, I think.
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to do something with music, and then I decided that it's a little harder than I originally anticipated. So
it's still harder than you anticipated.
Well, it's definitely still harder, but you realize, I guess, school kind of put it in perspective that you got to just do what you love, no matter how hard it is. You know, so as I was wrapping up school. It was just in it, you know. I was in my heart to get these tracks done, laid down, and in CD form for people to listen to.
So. And how long are you out of school?
I literally just graduated here in May 2010. So.
And you're from Montana.
Originally from Montana.
How'd you end up at the U of I? That's a long way to go.
It's a long way. I actually moved right after I graduated high school in Montana. I moved to Chicago, and I lived there for a while. Pursuing music and doing the thing there. And
you went on your own, or your family moved?
I went on my own. Yeah, I had a sister. I have a sister who still lives there, but so I was able to move in with her for the first few months or so.
In Chicago. But you went there thinking I'm gonna try this music thing, and
yeah.
What did you think you'd find in Chicago?
You know, I didn't know. I just didn't know. I was a naive young 18-year-old kid who just wanted to be a rock star and nothing else. You know, so. It was almost just an act of sheer, you know, whimsical spontaneity, you know. It was just kind of just throwing it out there and hoping something good happened, you know.
And what did happen when you were there?
You know, I played shows. I played open mics where I could.
Shows meaning?
I would play at like local bars, clubs. Mm-hmm. Open mics were easier. Chicago is a tough place to play live because they count on you bringing in people. So if you're not bringing in, you know, their minimum requirement, then they don't want you. You know, doesn't matter how good you are or anything else. So I kind of found it to be a little difficult for a year there. I actually had a manager who was interested in representing me, and that kind of just ended poorly with a contractual, you know, disagreement. So then I was just like, you know, I promised my parents I'd go to school. You know, that's why they unleashed me. They, you know, just started going to school. I ended up transferring here from Chicago and graduated, and now I'm ready to dive back into music.
So what did you study when you were here?
I studied molecular and cellular biology. So the MCB program here at U of I.
And you thought you'd be a doctor for a while.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking about going into medicine, and even now I'm pre-physical therapy. So at this point, I'm applying to physical therapy school as well.
Yeah. Well, this is a tough road you've decided to try. But then any parent will tell you that.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm lucky. I have very supportive parents. They support me, you know, through and through. So.
Well, it's a lot, you know, message to parents. If your kid has any inkling that they want to do something, let them do that something before they can't anymore.
Right.
Or, you know, before they really don't have a chance to. It's harder to get back into it later on.
It is.
I got into it myself and then got out of it and then did get back into it.
Okay.
And I'm still into it, but, you know.
Well, there you go.
But also branching out into other things. So it can be done one way or another. And you play your CD is called what?
It is called Thank You Heartbreak. It's
and
the title of the album.
I noticed on your MySpace page, I guess it was, you list as your band members Darren Hackey.
That is it, yeah. I literally recorded this pretty much on my own as far as the instrumentation. I had a few guest musicians in. I had somebody come in and play violin on a track. Somebody came in and did some piano work on, I'd say, about half the tracks on the CD. I had a buddy of mine add some guitar in that just to have a little different, you know, perspective with guitar so that it's not all my influence. And then I had one more buddy come in and do some background vocals, and I did the rest of the background vocals, and then everything else there is me. So
yeah, you're listed as lead vocals, background vocals, guitar, bass, percussion, and harmonica.
Correct.
And I only see a couple of those things with you right now.
Only a couple here, yeah.
So what are we going to start with?
I'll start with, this is the oldest song that is represented on the new album. So it's this is a song I wrote when I was 17 years old and in high school and before this kind of all, this whole journey began, so.
Darren Hackey on Live and Local.
With those eyes, there you go again, feeding me with life. There you go again, taking me back to the night that you brought me tears. There you go again, lighting up the room. There you go again, pretending you don't care. There you go again, hiding yourself under a blanket of all your lies. So could you stay just through the night, only to return tomorrow? We'll lay down our heads and turn. Here I go again, feeling down. Here I go again. taking the long way home. And here I go again, returning all the missed calls I never even missed at all. So could you stay just through the night, only to return? Cry eyes, our song was on, but I heard you breathing. You were still awake, but I saw you dreaming. Could you stay just through the night, only to return? Could you stay? Turn out the light. Yeah, I'll wake to your eyes tomorrow, and you'll wake to my eyes
And I'm guessing that's called Here You Go Again.
Oh, or you know, that would like make that. A lot of sense. Yeah, yeah. It's called Wake called to You. Now. Wake to You.
Wake to You.
Wake to You.
Well, that also makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah.
Given the context. Darren Hackey here on Live and Local from his disc that is called Thank You, Heartbreak. What's the inspiration for that title? Is that one of the songs on it?
You know, it's not. It just kind of dawned on me one day, you know, what does this album reflect? And I felt like that was it, you know, and most of these songs are written about that one relationship that went bad, and most of these songs that, you know, are about that. So I just thought it was a fitting title.
And what's the thanks for?
I wouldn't have the songs without it, you know.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, I wouldn't, a lot of times I get bogged down with the lack of inspiration, and, you know, luckily for me, I had that as inspiration.
Well, love and the lack of it has inspired what? Hundreds and of millions of songs, probably.
Correct. Yeah.
What burning need do you have to do this thing that you think might propel you beyond all the other people who've had burning needs and didn't get anywhere?
Sure. That's a great question. You know, for me, it's not about going further than anybody else, really. It's going as far as it was meant to go. So it's not, you know, I'm not banking on becoming a rock star, you know, like I used to when I was 18 years old. But I am, now I'm in a period in my life where I'm just completely happy doing it for the pure enjoyment out of it. For me, it's what I feel like I need to be doing. So I'm just going to take it one day at a time and wake up and hopefully, just keep writing, keep recording, and kind of let it play out.
And you're working otherwise, or are you getting by this way for a while?
Getting by this way for a little while. so we can see, we'll see how long that goes before I got to get something else going. But like I said, I'm applying to school as well, so
right.
That might be in the future as well.
When you decided to do the album, how easy is that to do? You were in Chicago at that point? I guess you were down here when you did that.
I was down here, yep. It was my senior year of college, and, you know, after studying biology for a copious amount of time, I realized that you know, I like it, I enjoy it, but it's not something that I have a passion for to the extent that I do music. So I just felt like I was always doing myself a disservice by not having recordings of the songs that I had. So it was winter break, and I got back from Montana from Christmas with just this kind of rejuvenated feeling when it comes to music, and set up all the recording gear and in the front porch of the house that I rent out, and started, you know, going in there from 8 a.m. till 11 at night. So just
so you really did record it, all the tracks yourself,
literally on a front porch in Champaign.
Illinois. Must be an enclosed porch.
Enclosed porch. It's in addition to the house. Yeah, it used to be an actual porch, front porch, but now it's an enclosed addition to the house.
Otherwise, we'd be hearing bus noises and all kinds of other things.
I still fought that. Yeah, I still fought the bus noises and dump trucks, and you just had to, you know, if you hear one, you know, you hear one coming down the street, you just had to stop.
So you didn't just let any on just for the,
you know,
for the heck of it?
If you listen close enough on the CD, you might find something, you know. I think there's a few, you know, unintended sound effects maybe in there somewhere, but nothing that I could pinpoint right here and now.
Adds to the charm, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. That was purposeful.
So you're obviously playing for us right now, solo guitar. You're going to be at the Canopy Club tonight at 9 with, you said, a full band.
Yep.
But obviously, there are going to be other guys in the band this time.
Yes.
Not just yourself.
I can't do it all live.
Yeah, you can't overdub simultaneously.
Exactly. So I collected a group of guys, much more talented than myself at the instruments that I played on the record. And, they were all kind of my first choice guys, and they all said yes. So we started practicing about a month ago for this CD release, and things are sounding pretty cool. I think it will be a really fun night of music tonight.
I mean, I think people can obviously imagine the difference between one guitar and being backed by, well, I imagine you'll have probably another guitar, bass, drums.
And a keyboard as well.
Keyboard.
Background.
Do you really feel that anything is missing from your songs when you just play guitar?
I do now a little bit. But at the same time, this is how it all began. You know, I started writing these songs and just with an acoustic guitar, and the way I would add instrumentation to them is I would just lay down an acoustic track with me and a voice and kind of just, you know, imagine how I would want it to sound with a full band, and that's how I added the instrumentation to it. So there's different dynamics, you know, for different situations, and I think tonight we're aiming for rock and roll, so we got a rock and roll band to play the songs, and it's going to be great for that. But for situations like this, I think it's cool to strip it down and hear the you know, just the bass line of it.
Yeah, the origins.
The origins of everything,
as it were. Well, let's let you do another song. I want to see if we can get in one or two more. Mm-hmm. You brought your harmonica rig, your harp rig.
Yeah.
What do you call that thing that holds the harmonica you put around your neck? It must have
boy.
A name. Anytime
seasoned
I see somebody like that, I just think of Bob Dylan, you know. Who
yeah, I feel like Bob Dylan when I wear it.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty old now. Hope you don't feel like that.
He is. Yeah, I don't feel that old. I feel semi-old, but not that old.
He's coming to the Assembly Hall this month, is it, or has he already been?
I think it's this month, actually. Yeah. My dad and my family back home in Montana, he just came to Montana with John Mellencamp. So they just saw him. So said it was a good show. So we're plugging that show as well.
Yeah, I guess so. We don't know when it is, though, but it's at the University of Illinois Assembly Hall. I can't imagine that it's not sold out already, but then you never know.
Right.
But we were hearing Darren Hackey on Live and Local right now, so what's our next tune?
This next song is, it's actually the very last song on the record, and I wanted to intentionally, this is the kind of that last song that I promised I'd write about this specific relationship, and I think it reflects that, and I wanted to kind of end the album with an acoustic track. So you're going to hear it pretty close to what it sounds like on the record. So this one's called Would You Be So Kind.
Thank you. ship is sinking, let the water rise. There's no need to light up the sky tonight. Just go your way and I'll go mine. Oh yeah. Would you be so kind to let me know your heart is mine so I can stay or let go? Would you be so kind to spare me your abuse? Use your heart and not your mind. Would you be so kind? Your lips may say, 'cause I built this house and I've seen this floor. Just don't forget to shut the door behind you. Yeah. No. Would you be so kind to let me know your heart is mine so I can stay or let go? Would you be so kind to spare me your abuse? Use your heart and not your mind. Would you be so kind? Would you be so kind to let me know if your heart is mine so I can stay or let go? And would you be so kind to spare me your abuse? Use your heart and not your. Would you be so kind to let me know if your heart is mine so I can stay or let go? And would you be so kind to spare me your abuse to reserve for your muse? Use your Would you be so kind?
I know you said that was you expected to be the last song you'd write about that relationship, but it sounds like it leaves a door open.
Yeah. The irony, huh?
Yeah,
That kind of happened because, like I said, I kind of came back from Montana that Christmas with new inspiration, and that's when that song, everything that's in there, kind of went down. It was basically, leave the door open or shut it.
New inspiration and maybe a little new hope.
A new hope, yeah, a new hope. So it's, that's kind of spurred it all, and the rest is history.
But the relationship's done and gone. And it's
done and gone.
The CD is here and
yes.
ready to sell. And
yeah, ready to sell. I'm hoping the next album is called Goodbye Heartbreak, you know? A little bit more upbeat.
Yeah, well, that'd be good. And this one is called Thank You Heartbreak.
Yeah.
Darren Hackey here on Live and Local, and you're going to be at the Canopy Club tonight at 9 o'clock, backed with a band, or backed by a band, I guess, with a CD available to sell, and you can also buy it through a link on your MySpace page?
That will be available here in the next in the upcoming weeks. Right now, it's going to be at shows only, but you will be able to buy it on iTunes and cdbaby.com. Amazon
the usual
in the coming
places.
Weeks.
Yeah. It's myspace.com/DarrenHackey, DarrenHackey. And best of luck with selling the album and
thank you.
With tonight's show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for appearing on Live and Local.
Thank you very much.
It is Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Stay tuned next for a conversation with Grammy-nominated violinist Robert McDuffie, who will be at the Krannert Center tonight, appearing with the Venice Baroque Orchestra. Violinist Giuliano Carmagnola with the Venice Baroque Orchestra, led by Andrea Marcone, in the first movement of the Autumn Concerto from Vivaldi's set of four violin concertos called the Four Seasons, collectively. And you can hear all four seasons played by the Venice Baroque Orchestra with a different violinist fronting tonight at the Krannert Center. He's Robert McDuffie, and he's playing not only the Vivaldi, but also the music by Philip Glass, inspired by Vivaldi's Four Seasons. Stay tuned for our conversation with him in just a moment. You can help us expand the community of WYLL contributors. Our fall pledge drive kicks off with a Power Hour next Wednesday, October the 20th. Your gift now to the Member Match Fund will encourage others to follow your lead and will help us keep the pledge drive short. You can send your check now to WILL Radio. The address is 300 North Goodwin Avenue in Urbana, Illinois, 61801. Or you can give online at willpledge.org. This is FM 90.9. It's Live and Local. My guest in this portion of Live and Local is Robert McDuffie, who is a world-renowned violinist with many recordings to his name. But for the purposes of today's conversation, he is the commissioning violinist for a new work by Philip Glass called, technically his Violin Concerto No. 2, but otherwise the American Four Seasons, which he's preparing with, logically enough, Antonio Vivaldi's four concertos called the Four Seasons together and touring them with the Venice Baroque Orchestra. And their first stop on the tour is at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow evening, or actually, I guess this evening at the time that we're airing this interview. And I'm pleased to have Mr. McDuffie on the phone with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. So happy to talk to you.
What gave you the idea to make this commission? And was it specifically for a commission to go with the Four Seasons or not?
That was my original thinking. I've always had a great affection for the Vivaldi piece. And back in 2002, I thought that I would just gather my courage and go to Philip Glass's home and just announce to him that Vivaldi was Italy's Philip Glass and that he was America's Vivaldi.
And what did you mean by that? Yeah, what did you mean by that?
I think there are definite similarities between the two. I think you can safely say that Vivaldi was a minimalist. They both have these patterns of repetition with just beautiful melodies on top. I think they have similar structures, but it's the DNA inside those structures that certainly separate them and form their own genius. But but it was not too far out of left field. It was slightly showbiz to throw that out at him, but I think he got it and was flattered and agreed right on the spot to write a new work. I didn't know it would take 8 years, but he got it done, and we're now really enjoying the benefits. I mean, he produced one of the most achingly beautiful pieces of music I've ever been involved with.
Have you commissioned other pieces?
I have, but this is also the Krannert Center is one of the commissioners of this piece. It's very exciting. I mean, that's why this particular stop is really meaningful to me, because I asked him to write it, but my manager Tim Fox got the commissioners together, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without the Krannert Center. So,
well, it's one of those situations, I guess, where that has been happening more often, where various orchestras and presenting institutions do collaborate on commissions so that it's more affordable for everybody, I guess.
And then more affordable. I mean, Mr. Glass is not cheap, but they really they're part of a project that's going to endure. This tour itself is 28 cities in the U.S., but we're already booked over the next 2.5 years around the world with this work, mostly paired with Vivaldi. Some standalone performances, but it's not just one of those times where you have a composer write a piece and you play it once or twice and then you put it on the shelf. I think what Tim did, my manager, was to take the three premiering orchestras, Toronto, London, and the Aspen Festival, had those first three premieres, and then he identified two of the presenters on this tour to be part of the group, and I think it obviously worked, and we have a great product.
Tell me, what is the Baroque influence on the, if there is one, on the sound of this particular concerto?
Well, it's more of the instrumentation that's Baroque. We're using the same instrumentation as the Vivaldi, with one glaring exception. In place of the harpsichord, we've included the synthesizer to tap into that, indigenous Philip Glass rock and roll sound that became famous when he started the Philip Glass Ensemble. But it is the modern harpsichord, so in many ways it seems to be a natural kind of an evolutionary addition. But I would say it's more the orchestration and the setup. Someone said when they first heard this piece, I think it was somebody in Toronto who said that hearing this piece was it's definitely Philip Glass, but it's as if during the Baroque era they were just waiting for Philip Glass to come along. And that's a pretty amazing compliment. And I think they're right. I think what he's done with this piece is kind of complete whatever was left out of the Baroque period.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Well, it's taking the Baroque structure and Americanizing it with his romantic. He's much more romantic than Vivaldi was, but it's the similar, to me, it's the similar DNA that kind of maybe has brought romance to Baroque, and that's why I just feel privileged to kind of continue what Vivaldi did in some respects.
Sometimes Vivaldi has written so many hundreds of concertos for all different instruments, and some people have said, occasionally, well, he wrote the same concerto a number of different times. But I think what it refers to is partly the sort of the motor rhythms or motor motion almost of Baroque music in general, and also a certain amount of repetition in the gesture that happens in Vivaldi's music. And, of course, Philip Glass made an early reputation for repeating quite deliberately the same gesture again and again and again, displacing it here and there, and hence, you know, part of that notion of minimalism. I wonder if that's one of the relationships between these two composers.
I think so. I mean, I think they're both manipulative composers in the best sense of the word. I mean, they know when to shift the harmonies to keep you enthralled and totally seductive. And I've just become so enamored with both of these big works, and that's why, even though we're playing it so often, I know that I'm not going to get tired of it. I may get tired, but I won't get tired of it.
This is a conversation between myself, Kevin Kelly, and Robert McDuffie, the violinist who's going to be with the Venice Baroque Orchestra tonight at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, and music by Vivaldi, and also Philip Glass. And here is a movement from Philip Glass's Fifth String Quartet, just to give you an idea of some of his music, and it's the Kronos Quartet performing on Live and Local. Fourth movement of the Fifth String Quartet from 1991 by Philip Glass with the Kronos Quartet here on Live and Local. And you can hear the second violin concerto by Philip Glass called The American Four Seasons, performed by violinist Robert McDuffie tonight at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana with the Venice Baroque Orchestra. Let's continue our conversation with Robert McDuffie. The Venice Baroque Orchestra is known, of course, for playing on period instruments in a, you know, quote-unquote authentic style, and I presume they're doing that on the Vivaldi. Are they using the same instruments for the Glass piece?
They're going to switch bows for the Glass and to pull out more of a, I guess, fuller sound, but they have a huge sound already, even with the Baroque bows, but there'll be a little more bow speed in the Glass. Let's put it that way.
And for those who are not violinists, can you talk a little bit what you mean about bow
sure.
speed what and the difference in the bows?
The modern bows make it so much easier to pull out a bigger sound. The Baroque sound is a little more cushiony, and this will have more pop to it. And a little more edge, but it's still I don't want to overstate the word cushiony, because it's still very present and beautiful and big. But with the Baroque bow, it just lends itself to a slightly smaller sound. I come from Macon, Georgia, and I've got a very Southern American approach to fiddle playing. So I'm glad they're switching bows for the Glass.
Are you doing the same bow switch for the pieces?
I'm not. I get to refrain and shape and adjust and learn during the Vivaldi. No, I'm not playing with a Baroque bow. I don't know if I would know how.
Well, I wonder, because some modern players do and some modern players don't, and didn't know if you'd be matching up with those.
I mean, I don't think I'd be very good at it.
Well, it takes an interest and then different practice. I understand they really do play very differently. I was reading.
Right. I think it'd be like putting left-handed for me.
Have you ever tried that? I'm just kidding.
I had tried putting left-handed.
Putting left-handed. I read on the website for the Four Seasons Project that, or I guess it's just called the Seasons Project, that between the two of you, you didn't necessarily agree which of the four movements of Glass's piece corresponds to which of the four concertos of Vivaldi. Can that be true?
Well, it was more, it's not how it corresponded to Vivaldi, but how it just corresponded to the seasons.
Right.
I mean, to the actual seasons.
Oh, I see, the seasons of the year.
The seasons of the year. His summer was my winter.
Hmm.
So we decided to just leave it up to the audience. And, it's the second large movement. It's on the recording. It's the fourth track because he's put in solo pieces to introduce each movement. But anyway, it's the second movement that is just achingly beautiful. And I sensed almost white beauty, pure white beauty, cold icy beauty. And he somehow imagined summer breezes, you know, whistling through leaves and forests. So, actually, at the end of the day, I think it's really good that that we didn't name the movements because it doesn't make the piece programmatic, and it lets the audience have their own experience with the piece instead of being told this is where the dog barks and this is where the wind howls, which is which happened to be in Vivaldi's sonnets that accompanied the original four seasons.
You mentioned some additional pieces he's written, or rather some introductory pieces. I'm looking at the program notes here. Refers to them as sort of a substitute for a cadenza, which is the part, at least in the classical concerto and later, where the violinist or the soloist goes off and does his own thing for a while, separate from the orchestra. What is that all about?
Well, it was a bonus. I mean, I had been asking him, to provide the orchestration that Vivaldi had. I asked him to use a synthesizer instead of the harpsichord, which he agreed to. I asked him to write kind of a rocked-out last movement instead of the soft, fading, nostalgic endings that he's famous for. So he agreed to all of that, and the next thing I know, he's given me four solo pieces that introduce each season. Just to add on to the uniqueness of the project anyway, and also you can put all four together, and it turns into a 9.5-minute beautiful solo violin piece that I can play on recitals.
Separate from the rest of the seasons.
Correct.
Huh.
And there's no break. The piece goes for 40 minutes straight. There's no break.
So that's a nice, good long evening, I guess, with the... How long did the Vivaldi take when you run
about
them back
the
to back?
About 39, the same. 40 minutes. About the same. It's 80 minutes of music, and so the concert comes in at under 2 hours. But it's a lot of notes. It's a lot of notes.
A lot of notes. So yeah, and so you said that the Glass isn't necessarily a programmatic experience, except that people can provide their own programmatic experience, given that we know he had the seasons in mind in some order or another.
I think it's liberating in some ways to allow the audience to, to reflect and choose their own, their own season based on their own experience with the piece.
Well, Robert McDuffie, pleased to talk to you, and I know you've got to go into rehearsal very shortly. It's Robert McDuffie, who was violin soloist and leader with the Venice Baroque Orchestra, going to be at the Krannert Center this evening at in Urbana, performing the Seasons Project, which is a combination of the four Vivaldi violin concertos, known as the Four Seasons, and Philip Glass's new work, the Violin Concerto No. 2, called The American Four Seasons. And for more information, you can go to KrannertCenter.com. And thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks. Really enjoyed it.
And here's Robert McDuffie in the final movement of Samuel Barber's violin concerto, which he's also touring with this season. He's appearing here with Yoel Levy conducting the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. Thank you. Robert McDuffie was violin soloist in the Concerto for Violin and Orchestra, the final movement. Perpetual Motion, it's called, and for obvious reasons, the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra was conducted by Yoel Levy. Join us again for Live and Local tomorrow at noon, and we'll have an hour's of time with classical guitarist Russell Brazell from Springfield in advance of a recital that he is giving in Springfield. And I hope you'll join us for that. Should be a nice hour. It's going to be mostly sunny today, high around 68. Tonight, mostly clear, the low near 42. And tomorrow, sunny with a high around 62. We're at 65 degrees. Support today comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana.